Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. Marshall Fant, welcome back to GFA Missions ReChurch. So glad to have you joining us again. We appreciate all those that participate and also those that send feedback. So if you have any suggestions or different podcasts maybe you'd like to hear, be sure and email me. My email address is mfant@gfamissions.org, mfant@gfamissions.org. Today's topic we'll be covering would be really a time when the church needs to shepherd their under-shepherd. And what I mean by that is there are seasons of every pastor's life. It may be loss, discouragement, but in this case, the spouse precedes them in death, and while the pastor is pastoring a church. So how can the church shepherd their under-shepherd during seasons of when this particular thing? So good friends of mine, Pastor Chuck Harrell, welcome.
Good to be here.
Yeah, and Pastor Gary Ledbetter, welcome, both of you, good friends.
Great to be here, Marsh.
All right, so what we're going to do, we got several things. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I've known Brother Gary for many, many, many years, and Chuck for, I don't know what, Chuck, 6 years now, six years. So, again, I've heard both of their testimonies, especially Chuck. I heard him when we first met him, how fresh this still was in his life of his wife passing away. And then Brother Gary actually traveled part of that journey with Gary and Barbara before the Lord took Barbara to heaven. So, Brother Gary, why don't you introduce yourself first to everybody, where you serve, how long you pastored?
All right. I have pastored four different churches and served as an interim in one church. I started in 1982, August of 82, in Texas, and then went to restart a church that had gone bankrupt under GFA assistance, and we went to Sherrall, South Carolina, a little town, Sherrall, South Carolina, for 11 years. Yeah. Then went to Irmo, Columbia, South Carolina, for 10 years. That's where my wife passed away. And then recently I pastored for 9 years in Whiteville, North Carolina, toward Wilmington, and then served 17 months as an interim at Crossroads Baptist Church in Columbus, North Carolina, just south of Hendersonville.
Right. Okay, great. All right. So, Brother Chuck, tell us a little bit about your pastoral history.
Yeah, so I pastored 40 years in two different churches. My last church, I pastored 26 years and stepped down in 2020 and took over, a younger man took my place. And since that time, I've served in the interim in Arsdale, North Carolina for 9 months, and then down in Holly Ridge, North Carolina for 7 months. Yep. And so I've enjoyed the interim ministry in those two positions.
You also help your son, right? You have a camp ministry and you help
I'm at my son. He's at Fairview Baptist Church in Athens, Tennessee. He has a Christian school and a church at a camp ministry. So I moved to this area and assisting him when I can, whatever needs to be done.
All right, that's great. All right, so a couple of questions. So as we walk through this, I mean, this is, I appreciate y'all being willing to talk through this. I hope it will be an encouragement both to pastors maybe who their wives preceded them into heaven, or either also to churches of how they can minister best during this deep trial. So again, Brother Gary, let me start with you. So from the time Barbara contracted cancer, y'all found out, until she went to heaven, what was that length of time, Gary?
It was a little over 2 years. She began to have the symptoms of shortness of breath in June of 2008. We were actually in France visiting missionaries in France, and she was experiencing shortness of breath, really diagnosed in December of 2008. and went through 30 chemo treatments. Then she went on hospice care for 4 months and passed away, went to be with the Lord in September of 2010, 15 years ago.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Chuck, I'm going to ask you the same question. So let me ask you this, Brother Gary. So what were some of the harder seasons during these 2 years? What were some of the harder seasons or moments for you personally, both as a husband and as a pastor? You were and as a father, because all of you are wearing those hats, but mainly as a husband and a pastor. What were, during that 2 year period, Brother Gary, what were the couple of key points there?
The shepherd. I was the under shepherd, but I needed to be shepherded by the church. I had a great church that took good care of us. Mm. But when we got the diagnosis, our medical doctor was chairman of deacons in our church. And so when he came and gave me the diagnosis that it was stage 4 colorectal cancer and terminal, that was very difficult news for us. And then he went in and told my wife. But then just trying to be a pastor at the same time and to be a loving mate to my wife, those were through the whole thing. We had several different journeys, some ups and downs, like a roller coaster. And then when she got put on hospice care, knowing that cancer had gone to the liver, that those were some very difficult days.
Okay. Now, later on, we're going to cover how the church can best minister to you during that season. I'm trying to set the stage for that. So, Brother Chuck, tell us a little bit about your wife's journey and some of the hard times during that.
Okay. Well, she was diagnosed in September of 2016, and we've been beginning the journey. And we knew after the diagnosis it was going to be a tough battle. It wasn't stage 4, stage 1, but and they gave us quite a bit of hope that it could be turned around, the Lord willing, and with treatment. But we knew it was going to be a tough battle because she'd already at this point, at the diagnosis, had a lot of damage to her bones and a lot of things going on. So we knew the battle was going to be tough. And it was ended up being a 4-year battle as she went to be with the Lord October of 2020. And without a doubt, the toughest part was the last 6 months because not only was her condition getting worse to where it was becoming obvious that unless the Lord intervened, if the miracle, things weren't going to turn around. But we were in the height of COVID. Mm. And that changed the whole world. Of course, it changed our lives. And she was in the hospital a lot during that time. And we both contracted COVID in the hospital. And so no one could come and visit. And it was really tough. The last 6 months was tough because of the cancer, but made much worse by the COVID pandemic and no one able to come and minister to us. But that was definitely the hardest time.
Well, let's get ahead a little bit with you, Chuck. So I know one of the great stories you told me towards the end there, when the doctor knew that her time was short, he dismissed her from the hospital and sent her home.
That was one of the great blessings we felt like the Lord gave us. Because she was in the hospital with COVID, and they made me come home because she had COVID, and they put her on a COVID floor and sent me home, and I was diagnosed with it. I wasn't sick, but I couldn't be with her, and we just both felt like she was going to leave this world to go to heaven from the COVID floor with no bun around, no visitors. But a COVID doctor came in we'd never seen, didn't know. He called me the next day and said, your wife is not going to die of COVID, but she's not going to survive this cancer. And with your permission, I'd like to send her home because she's not going to. And so he did, and she was able to be surrounded by her family for those last days. And that was a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, that was. So that was a good, as well as it could end, right, in that situation. So,
exactly.
Yeah. All right, so Chuck, let me ask you this, and then I'll let Gary come to it. So tell us maybe a time or two where you felt the between caring for your wife and caring for the church, describe a moment when it was just you know, oh, God, you only can do this. I can't do it. Maybe a couple of moments or a moment or two that you went through. Yours was 4 years, but especially towards the latter part, well, right. Before COVID hit, before COVID.
Right. You know, even in the first part, the oncologist told her the only way she was going to survive this was to do a stem cell transplant, mm-hmm. which would take us out of town to Vanderbilt University for at least 30 days at a time. And so, you know, that really brought up a lot of questions. How am I going to pastor a church and be out there with her? Which, of course, there was nothing questionable what I was going to do, but how that was going to work.
Yeah.
But the Lord, you know, provided me with a good staff. I had an assistant pastor and a youth pastor who stepped in. My deacons were very understanding. And the guilt was on me more than anything, worrying about, you know, with things being taken care of. So yeah. A lot of decisions me and her tried to talk through, what are we going to do? Yeah. How long can we do this? And that kind of thing. And so I was nearing 70 years old at that time. And the church was flourishing. And I knew it needed a younger mind and a younger body as well. So that was a process, not only of her battling with the cancer and going through the stem cell transplant, being away from home, but trying to decide when's the best time to step back and wow. let someone else take this forward. So yeah. that was a difficult time as well, but the Lord walked us through that and made the decision that we would bring on a younger man, train yeah. him for a year and let him do the preaching and yeah. guide us through that transition, and the Lord blessed us with that.
All right, so Gary, what about you? What were those times when you felt torn? What were a couple of those between caring for your wife and caring for your church?
There were many in that two-year period. I had a real good situation, though. My daughter, who was working at the Wiles full-time, moved back home to help me take care of my wife through her cancer journey, and then stayed with me two extra years. My youngest was 16 years of age, a son, and she stayed two extra years to help yeah. homeschool him until he finished high school. And I had a very good situation in that at home, but there were times that she had a bad week, and maybe somebody was having something done at church or a heart surgery or something where you felt like you needed to be there. I had an assistant pastor who helped out. I had some good deacons who helped out, and they were doing some care and shepherding in their own shepherd and care groups that they had. But there were times that I was torn to what I needed to do with the pastor's heart, but I knew my first priority was to my wife and family.
Mm. All right, so Gary, stay with you, and let me ask you this, and Chuck, you can comment. So as a pastor, you've walked with many, many families down this road, and you've been a caregiver, and, I mean, now you're the caregiver versus the pastor and the pastor. So what, you know, how was it different when you were the one in the middle of the trial versus you're the pastor serving another family, but now you're the one in the middle of it? So tell our listeners how that was different, Gary.
Well, as a pastor, you hope to have a pastor's heart where you have sympathy and empathy with people as they're going through difficult times. As Romans 12 say, we weep with those that weep and we rejoice with those that rejoice. But at the same time, this is my life's mate. When she suffers, I suffer.
Yeah.
She is me. I don't know whether that's proper English or not, but that's what it is. She's me. And so there were in the chemo journey, Marsh, there are usually a treatment week, and then there's a bad week, yeah. and then there's a good week, and then yeah. the treatment all yeah. over again. The process starts all over again. Mm-hmm. So I tried to pick it and tried to say, you know, does my priority here with my wife today, or would this be a good day for me to be out doing something as a pastor with another with the families in the church? And I try to rotate it between good weeks, bad weeks, and yeah. that kind of thing. So
it's hard.
People don't get sick on a scheduled basis, though. They don't do it on the good weeks usually. So yeah. but I was torn by that, but I really realized that hey, this is a little different now. And I've been a hospice chaplain too, so it's a little different when you're the husband of a person on hospice than it is when you're the hospice chaplain going in to be with them. But you still try to sympathize and empathize with them and identify with them. But it is different when it's somebody that's your own mate.
So, Pastor Harold, how did you find it was different in your walk with your wife?
Well, that's truth of the Word of God. It says it's more blessed to give than it is receive. Really came to light the fact that the outpouring of love we receive from our church and from others in the ministry, and it strengthened us both. But you want, when you're helping others and serving others, it can be a blessing. But when you're getting all the help and financially and prayerfully and encouraging mail and letters, it just overwhelms you. The Lord helped us through that time, and we was able to just receive the blessings that He was sending our way through that encouragement and all that. But the thing that really helped me more than anything through the whole thing was my wife's spiritual strength. I have to say, honestly, she was probably stronger than me at the going through this thing. I was humbled by her ability to take all the bad news and all that. And she began to journal as soon as she had diagnosed, and journaled for 4 years. And I read through those things and how the Lord came alongside her and strengthened her. She Amen. Really ministered to me. And so I thank the Lord for that part of the journey. And thank Amen. God that she never wavered in that. And she was strong through the whole thing.
Amen. Brother Gary? On your journey, where did you find your strength? Was there a particular passage? I mean, you heard Chuck say about his wife and he found strength in her. And you were nodding your head. The audience, probably listeners, couldn't see that. But you want to comment on that? And were there any passages or any other promises where you anchored your soul during that time?
Well, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
Amen.
And knowing that the Lord was with us through the whole journey, and knowing that He would strengthen and help and uphold us, we ran to the Psalms. Both Barbara and I did. We would spend, there's 150 encouragers there with the Psalms, and we ran to the Psalms to learn about more and more about our God. Job said at the end of his journey, Job 42, verse 5, he said, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee." Amen. And he got a close-up view through the difficult times. He got a close-up view of his God. Amen. And that was true of us. We knew that without Him, we could do nothing. John 15:5.
Yeah.
And but the Lord strengthened us and carried us, and we're very thankful for that. He never wastes a trial. He never wastes a trial in each of our lives, and He brings them into our life to make us better and not bitter, that we might be more like Him.
Amen. All right, so let's shift gears now. All right, we got the background. We know how God ministered to each of you. Let's talk about now how the church, and through what you've been through, the church's role now in shepherding their under-shepherd during this difficult time. So, Brother Gary, I'll start back with you. So how did your church family come along beside you and your wife? And your situation was 2 years with Chuck. It was 4, and then middle of Chuck's was COVID, so we'll deal with that in a minute. But, Gary, what are some ways the church came along beside you, and of those, what was the most meaningful and the most helpful?
It was what a blessing it was to see the one another's of the New Testament applied by a local church assembly in our case, and others learning how they could love and serve and encourage and comfort. I tried to develop a system where you could be overwhelmed. I mean, we loved our people and they loved us, and you can be overwhelmed. I mean, there, you know, 17 people all in the same day trying to do something for you. So I had a secretary that I appointed as a contact person, an assistant pastor, and the chairman of deacons, who were those three worked together. And so all of the emails, scheduling of visits, because on the good weeks, it was all right to have a visitor or two on a day, on a good week, but I would let them know by an email or a text, this is not a good day, this is not a good time. And so they would not visit at that time. They had brought meals for a year and a half at the end of my wife's journey, a year and a half, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they brought a meal to our home. Mm. 6 months after she passed away, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So a total of 2 years. I get teary-eyed telling you about it. But they loved us. They brought, sent emails and cards. And on her 57th birthday, which was her last birthday, she was having a good week. And we went to the church, and 320 people came for her 57th birthday party. And they brought letters. They brought pictures. They told stories. They had just life lessons and reflections of things that they had learned from her. Amen. About her walk with God and what they could apply in their own life.
Amen.
So I wouldn't change anything. God was using it for good, and it was a real blessing to see a church function like that.
Wow. All right, so Chuck, I think we may have to divide yours into two, pre-COVID and COVID, okay, of how the church serves you and your wife during this season of cancer. Right. What was most helpful and what was most meaningful?
Well, again, the journey was divided that way a lot. The first part of the journey, the first 3 years, we were, away a lot in Vanderbilt, staying out there, had to stay out there on two different occasions for treatment and for a trial treatment later on. And we were out of town a lot. The great help for me was the church leadership, deacons and assistant pastor and youth pastor, just told me check out of that. We'll take care of the preaching schedule. We'll take care of all that. You won't have to decide who's going to be preaching, who's going to be visiting. We'll cover that, and they did, and that took a lot of pressure off of me. And they made sure that we didn't have any financial burdens. They took care of our stay out there, our food, everything they could do. The church could not possibly have been more helpful. And that really encouraged us. And at that point, we were really talking and praying about me stepping down at some point, as I already said, and then maybe having some good years together, 8 to 10 years at least. They told us maybe that if she could get in remission, we started making some plans that way. And then in 2020, everything changed. She failed three trial treatments, and it was very obvious unless the Lord intervened, nothing was going to turn us around. And then COVID hit, and our whole journey changed. But still, she stayed very strong, and Amen. We didn't go through that fear of that. We just trust the Lord week by week. The battle got harder, but the Lord stayed strong, and her faith stayed strong. And the church had to operate from a distance then, of course, but they did do that. And we'd get meals on the porch. We would get all kinds of, encouragement through email and all that kind of stuff. We never knew. We'd hear the doorbell ring, go out there, and there'd be a meal on the porch or some gift or something. So the Lord took care of that. That force encouraged us even during that very difficult time.
All right, now, this is all right. So I'm going to ask a question. I don't mean to offend anybody that may have done this, okay? So listeners, please, this is not, but I have to ask it. All right, so Brother Gary, I'll start with you. So there were some well-intended things that were done for you, but they just were not helpful, okay? People mean well. But what would be one or two things, and then Chuck, I'm coming to you, well-intended people do, but it really is not a help, okay? Could maybe you just expand on that just a little bit. Again, nobody get offended by this, please.
We appreciated all the attempts at encouragement for us, but some would come and they would have tell about a cousin that had cancer, just like Barbara had, and they'd say, that cousin of mine died just in a month, you know, and that wasn't a bit of encouragement to us at all. There were others who would try to help us, but then almost smother us with it. And I just had to say, we've got to back off, and I appreciate all that you're doing. And that's why I ran everything through the secretary, who she lined up all the, I would let her know, hey, this 2 visits a day would be good, or no visits today. And she would send emails, those kind of things would come to me in large amounts. But those sometimes people trying to tell you their journey and how that person did. And also in the grief process after my wife passed away, there would be people that would say, in a month you'll be over this. I mean, I was over it when I lost my loved one, and in a month you'll be over it. And grief is like a snowflake, and each person's journey is different. But they would try to tell you that it really wasn't that helpful. I appreciated what they tried to do, but some of it wasn't that helpful.
All right, Chuck, Pastor Harold, you got any other comments there?
Well, no, honestly, I couldn't really name anything that was done that wasn't helpful, other than actually what Brother Gary has said, those two things, talking about similar circumstances, and I tried to avoid that myself in my ministry, not telling anybody I know what you're going through, because in reality, no one knows what you're going through.
Right.
And we don't know what anyone else is going through. Yeah. But I know that was intended to be helpful and that kind of thing, but it really wasn't. And then the other thing was just people trying their best to do what they could to stay in contact. And that got a little overwhelming. It was appreciated, but also got a little overwhelming because she wasn't. One thing people don't realize with the cancer journey, everybody don't, is not only the treatments and the cancer, but the side effects that my wife went through were the terrible things. And those are on non-treatment days and all that. And there were just times she just could not answer any, respond to anything at all. So, and I didn't do it either. And, you kind of get feeling guilty, you haven't responded to all the inquiries, but the people meant well, and it was appreciated.
Okay. So lessons for other churches as well as other pastors. Brother Gary, I'll start with you. I know some people say, well, Pastor, it's time for you to take a sabbatical. It's time for you to go off for 2 or 3 months and just to get away. All right. So would you comment on that, Gary?
Each person's situation is going to be different. Each ministry situation is going to be different. Like I said, I had my daughter who had already graduated from college, who moved back home to help us. She stayed 4 years, 2 years in Barbara's treatment time, and then 2 extra years. And then I have a son that was 14 when Mama got sick, and for Amy to stay with us and help him finish high school till he went to college. I had some people at home that were helping in that situation. So I would just say that I didn't need a sabbatical, because but maybe after she passed, some people don't grieve properly. And we were grieving for the whole time of the, even from the time we got the terminal diagnosis, the grieving was starting already through that process. But there are some people who don't grieve properly. And
would you expand on that just a little bit? Is that because they don't take time to grieve? They don't come to grips with it. So what do you mean by they don't grieve properly?
Yeah, they don't slow down enough to spend some time with the Lord and go through a grief process. You're really, the grieving process is natural. You're in very good hands and very good company. with people throughout the scriptures and others, many others, who have had sorrow and grief in their own life. But there are a lot of people who just don't take time to process it. And they just go like a blur. And sometimes in the ministry and with family, and when you've got several children at home, you really don't process it. And I think it would be good to get away. I know when we got the diagnosis that she was going on to hospice care, we took 3 days and went up to Chimney Rock, which was destroyed some in this Helene, but we went up there and just spent 3 days as a family, and just spent some time together and discussed the fact that if Mama was going to go to heaven, she was going to be in great hands, and God was going to take very good care of her. And if he was taking care of her, he was going to take care of us as well.
Amen. Amen. What about Chuck? What about you there?
The Lord provided through our church just a lot of encouragement to be removed from the ministry as far as decision-making and on hands to the degree I did not have to worry about taking care of anything like that. They wanted me to spend time with her and taking her to treatment and that kind of thing, and I did. And then 3 years into the journey, about 3.5 years into the journey, we went, we took our last trip together. It was our 50th anniversary, and we took a cruise to Alaska because that's where we went as newlyweds in the military. So we went back there, and she was able to do that cruise and go back to where we began our ministry 50 years ago. In our marriage, not our ministry. And so she wasn't able to do any excursions or anything like that, but it gave us a trip together to spend on that together. And that was a sabbatical, and the Lord really blessed us with that. And that's one of my fondest memories. There was our last trip where we could do anything together and away from the church, and not to have the worry of, is everything all right at home, or what's people thinking about this at home? The Lord provided me great encouragement from my church as well as the leadership.
All right. So I got two more questions, and then we'll wrap it up. So Gary, first with you. First question would be this. How do you see God using your wife's passing and your grief now to encourage others? And then if you were talking to another pastor or a deacon of a pastor going through this, you've already shared Isaiah 41:10. Would you go back to that verse, or is there another verse you would like to share with them?
Well, God used it in my own life to draw me to God dependency. I spent time reading through the whole Bible in a short amount of time. I read the New Testament three times through 1 month for each reading, 3 months in a row. And I realized that it was really a God story. And what he was doing and getting to know my God. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, there is a passage of scripture that was greatly encouraging to us, for a God who is acquainted with grief, our suffering Savior. It says about him in Isaiah 53, he's acquainted with grief. He sees us, he knows us, he knows our journey, he knows what we're going through. And Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7 says, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee and all the works of thy hand." And we realized that we could count our blessings, name them ton by ton through the 36 years of marriage that we'd had together, and many of those years in ministry. It says, "He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness." He knows all about our journey as we walk through the wilderness, and there is an end to it on the other side. "He knows you're walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee." We knew his presence was there. He had never failed us. His mercies were new every morning. He says, "Thou hast lacked nothing." At the end of Deuteronomy 2:7, "Thou hast lacked nothing." He's been all sufficient. Amen. He's more than enough. Amen. And we find that through these times of difficulty and journeys that we are inadequate. We're not sufficient, but he is sufficient.
Amen.
And that he is more than enough.
So well said. All right, Brother Chuck, what about with you? What about?
Well, I'd say to other pastors or anyone that I was talking to about that was, you know, the journey was much different than I anticipated. If I was thinking about what it would be like to be in that journey, it wasn't like that, like I would expect it to be. You know, the verse that comes to my mind, I think about a lot, is the Lord had not given us a spirit of fear,
Amen.
But of power and of love, of a sound mind. I can honestly say, except for the day of the diagnosis, that day was different because we came out of the office into the parking lot and it was fearful and it was not anticipated. And it was kind of like, you know, come out of the dark, you know, all of a sudden, wow, is this really happening? And that was a fearful day. But from that day forward, the Lord intervened and it was a journey of peace and of sound mind, making decisions through following the Lord's leading. And so I'm thankful that peace was there. And the other right. thing was, I still am overwhelmed at the strength of our people, our congregation, our members. I found out many of them was much more settled in their faith and stronger in their faith than I realized. And they come alongside us, sent us, my wife got verse after verse from folks, ladies, friends, and just a great, great encouragement. And I can't say enough about what the Lord did. I'm going to add one more thing there.
Sure.
Along that way, towards the end of the journey there, matter of fact, the end of the journey, about the same time the doctor had called from the hospital, my wife came home, and an RN in our church who was a retired hospice nurse had called me and wanted to be very frank with me and said, Pastor, I want you to know something. Your wife's not going to be here much longer. And I want you to know something. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there till the end. And when that time comes, I'm moving into your house with you, with her, and be there. And she did. Even though my wife had COVID, the next day after the hospital, she had this episode that RN moved in, never left her side for 2 days till she passed away. And the Lord just intervened. And I mean, I can't even explain what a blessing that was. And that was one of our faithful church members that loved the Lord.
Amen. Now, I have observed both of your lives post your wife's passing. In fact, Brother Gary, you remarried Linda. You met her in our church. I think I did your wedding ceremony.
You did.
And that was a great blessing. And then you and Linda went out and pastored a church and then also became an interim. So there is life after that, right?
Amen. Amen.
And I remember the day, Brother Chuck, I met you and we sat in the conference room. I will never forget the question you asked us. You looked at me and you said, God has taken my wife. Can God still use me as a pastor? I will never forget that. And since then, you've been two interims. You're helping your son at camp. You got flexibility. You lived in an RV at one interim and, you know, stayed in a little bitty prophet's chamber in another one. So I just want to thank both of you that going through this season just refined you to continue to be a servant of God. So I want to thank you for your testimonies. And
Amen.
So Pastor Gary Ledbetter, Pastor Chuck Carroll, thank you for your testimonies. Thanks for being vulnerable today. I know both of you teared up. It's a journey, and God allows you to go through it. And I pray that he'll take this podcast and encourage other pastors and pastors' wives that are going through this and encourage churches how they can really serve and shepherd their under-shepherd in a time of need. So, Brother Gary, thank you. Brother Chuck, appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah, Amen. I trust this podcast will be a blessing to you. Again, you can find it on YouTube. You can find it on your favorite audio podcast platform. Again, I want to thank GFA Missions and the commitment here at the staff and others to make this all possible. And again, really want to thank our two men today for being very transparent of grieving and helping others grieve. And I know both of them, and they'd be willing to take your phone calls if you need to reach them. You're welcome to go through me. Again, my email address is mfant@gfamissions.org, or you can call us here at the GFA office. I'll put you in touch with both of these men And they can pray with you over the phone. They can walk with you down this journey and give you some godly counsel. So, Brother Gary, Brother Chuck, thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Right.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.